Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, May 13th, episode 52 in this podcast. Today we get into three topics. We'll preview the games tomorrow to be played, actually Tuesday, in the NBA, as the Pacers have leveled up the series with the Knicks, tied at 2-2, game number 5 set for MSG. And then also we'll get into game number 5 in Minnesota and Denver, with Denver going on the road and getting two big wins, tying their series up as 2, game 5 in Denver. We'll then go into, and actually we'll do this first, Frank Vogel getting fired for the Phoenix Suns, being replaced by Mike Budenholzer. I'll give you my general thoughts on the entire state of the Phoenix Suns, which I think is an absolute joke what's going on right now with that franchise. And lastly, with the WNBA set to tip off Tuesday night, I'll give you my quick thoughts of what I've seen out of Caitlin Clark early on in the preseason. And let's get started in today's podcast with the big news out of the Valley of the Sun, where Frank Vogel was fired after 1 year with the Phoenix Suns. Frank Vogel, in which the team, Phoenix Suns team, has the third highest payroll and tax, and was swept out of the first round versus Minnesota. Let's be honest, folks, a quite embarrassing series. Quickly to be done, within a couple of days, Matt Ishbia went and James Jones went and hired Mike Budenholzer. Our Mike Budenholzer, like Frank Vogel, who has won a championship. A Mike Budenholzer that agreed to a 5-year, $50 million deal to become the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. And this is where I want to kind of go. To me, folks, it does not matter who is coaching the team when it comes down to Frank Vogel or Mike Budenholzer. It has to do with the players that you have. And if you look at the fact that, like they said, third highest luxury tax being paid by Phoenix, the roster doesn't fit, folks. And I've kind of talked about this a little bit on Sports Grid on my various appearances, but I want to make this kind of clear to people so they understand. You can't build a basketball team like a video game, meaning, like, go get a bunch of players that are really good in a basketball card and expect it to fit. Like, think about the Lakers in, I think it was 2004, right? Shaq and Kobe. They went and they got Karl Malone and Gary Payton. Okay, we're just going to mesh these guys together and we're going to go win a championship. You know, Detroit with Larry Brown, a team with Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, wasn't a better team than Detroit. Like, the Lakers had far better talent. But the team, the conceptual of making things work, is why this worked in Detroit with that team versus the Lakers. Same thing what I see here in Phoenix. Very simply put, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant do not work together. I am not telling you that they're not first ballot Hall of Famers. And there I would say I think Booker and Durant are first ballot Hall of Famers. They will be. Bradley Beal will be a Hall of Famer as well. I don't know if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's put up big-time stats in his league. But the reason it doesn't work is because they all need the ball, right? They all need the ball to succeed. You only got one basketball for five guys. So that is the first reason, right? To expand upon it, last year, Devin Booker moved on to the point guard spot when Chris Paul got hurt. And he put up really good stats as a point guard when Chris Paul was out. I think that gave Matt Ishbia and James Jones the false sense of security that you could move Devin Booker to a point guard spot. They also thought that Bradley Beal could handle some point guard responsibilities. Folks, Bradley Beal's always been a two guard. And Kevin Durant, who is a catch and shoot, wonderful pull-up guy, needs space to operate. So he was left standing in the corner. So what do you do if you're Phoenix? I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't run it back. You don't bring these guys back and say, okay, we're going to change the coach and we're going to make it work. That's not the way how you do this. Folks, someone's got to get traded. And I'll tell you now, it's not going to be Bradley Beal. A Bradley Beal who had watched and signed his extension, got a new no-trade clause, and got traded. So now, with $51, $53, $55 million, I think, or 3 years left in this deal, no one's taking that money because, and if you're Phoenix, what are you going to get? 10 cents on the dollar for a guy that can't stay healthy for a long time? So now it goes to Booker or Durant. Very simply put, Durant's got to get traded. He's not going to get you what you get back for Booker, but you'll get enough teams that are championship contenders or think they can take or one player away from the championship, like a Miami Heat, that think they can get someone like Kevin Durant and make themselves a championship team by making one move. Devin Booker will get you back more, but you can't have Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal at their age leading the team because you really have no future. The other reason why you have to move Kevin Durant is you need to bring something back, right? Yes, Yusuf Nurkic did a good job in the center position, didn't play well in the playoffs. There's no depth. I know they have Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is about 37 years old. They need more scoring. They need more bench play. And need to get more younger and more athletic. So to me, the best thing that Phoenix can do, now that they've fired Frank Vogel, is they need to trade Kevin Durant. And I think Kevin Durant, who basically is ring chasing, let's be honest, will go to a good situation where he can help team win a ring. So to me, that is what I would do. But if they think they're going to run this back, they're not better with the same team. They won't be better than Minnesota. They won't be better than Denver. They won't be better than Dallas. They won't be better than OKC. I think New Orleans is going to trade Brandon Ingram. We'll talk about that next podcast. They won't be better than them. I think Houston will continue to get better. We'll talk about them next podcast. And we talked about the NBA draft. So we'll kind of get going. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming down the pipe. I want to get to the games that are going to tip off Tuesday night. And first lead off with the Knicks, -2.5-point favorites, -145 versus the Pacers. And the Pacers team that really just flipped this series on its head. Really, folks, in the fourth quarter. New York, who shot 0-for-7 from inside the paint in the fourth quarter, really didn't have the legs. And if you look at the game yesterday, an absolute blowout, 30-point blowout. I mean, I think they're up almost by 40 or 50 at one point, Indiana. And you got to be concerned, as a Knicks fan, like I am, about the legs. How much longer can these guys go? If you're looking for a silver lining for New York, it's maybe the fact that their stars, the Brunsons, DiVincenzo, the Harts, the Hartensteins, the starters, none of them played more than, I think, 32 minutes. That's great for them, considering that Josh Hart, I don't know, maybe the last time he came out of a game was like in February, because he's been playing, it seems like, 48 minutes a night. Brunson's playing big minutes. Obviously, you can talk about the ankle now because of the questionable landing by Naismith kind of getting up into space. And obviously, you know, the foot as well. So they're dealing with injuries. Indiana's doing a great job of changing the pace, but the biggest thing that happened is putting Aaron Naismith on Jalen Brunson, getting up into Jalen Brunson's space, and Jalen Brunson not being able to knock off Aaron Naismith. 9-for-27 is what Jalen Brunson has shot the last two games with Naismith guarding him. So if I'm New York, I'm going to look to get some kind of false motion. Try and get Brunson on the run. If you're looking for a prop, look for Brunson assists. Brunson's got to get other guys going early to hopefully open up the floor. I expect a tight, tight game. New York will be better. I think Tibbs took the punch on the chin. There was a players-only meeting after game number four. I expect a really good game. At times I've said that whoever won game four is going to win the series. I'm starting to think with the way New York got blown out, I actually like the Knicks to win in a very, very close game. Now moving on to game number five between Minnesota and Denver. Let's be honest, this thing's got flipped on its head. I mean, four games, folks, and the road teams won all four of them. And if you look at it, Denver almost, you know, had a huge lead. You could argue that game one, game four, kind of close to games on the stretch. Game two, game three is absolute blowout. Here's the problem that I have with Minnesota. I don't know if you can play Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is a great shot blocker, a great protector of the rim, a great rebounder. But he's not a great on-the-ball defender. So he can't guard the other team's best player. And as well as he can rebound, he's a defensive liability against a guy like Nikola Jokic. So if you're Coach Finch, are you going to continue to play Rudy Gobert, big minutes, or do you try to go to Naz Reid and play Naz at the five, with Cat at the four? Next problem I have with Minnesota is Cat has not been good. 4-7 attempts, game number three, awful in game number four. And now a lot of that credit has to do with the play of Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, who had 27 points in game number four, has done a masterful job of really getting up into Cat's space. And really, Aaron Gordon, folks, this is where he is so good. He is a good, like, fourth scorer or third scorer that could run the floor, play defense, be rugged. He's important in the playoffs. And I think what the way he has played has been phenomenal. Jamal Murray has stepped up his game tremendously as of late. He didn't score a ton yesterday, but hit some big shots early in the game. And obviously was great. And game number three quieted the crowd. This is now where we're going to find out what Minnesota is made of. Because after playing six great games to start the playoffs, they get blown out in game number three. They don't play well, especially in the first half, and game number four. And now you're looking at them and saying, now you've gotten punched in the mouth. Denver is a 4.5-point favorite, over under 206.5. To me, folks, I came into this after game three saying it was going to be a zigzag with Minnesota winning game four, and then it was going to go five, that Denver was going to end, and then game six, it was going to be Minnesota, which means Minnesota was going to win 4-2. Obviously, with Denver winning, I'm not changing my zigzag theory in regards to the fact that I think now home teams are going to start to win. I like Denver to win game number five. I like them to cover a 4.5-point spread, and I do like them, the game, to go over 2.5. I think you're going to get better performance at home out of these guys, and then I do think Minnesota may start to feel the pressure of this series. If Minnesota gets blown out in game five, they're not going to win game six at home. If it's a close game, last 2 minutes, they lose, then I could see this going seven. But watch the game closely. I fully expect Denver to win the game. I expect them to cover, and how much it covered by will determine what I think happens in game number six. Let's end today's podcast by talking about the WNBA with the great Caitlin Clark, who's been talked about so much by everybody, let's be honest, and what she has brought or going to bring to the WNBA. If you pull up her stats for the first two games that she had in regards to preseason games, against Dallas, 21-3-2-2, 6-15 from the floor, 5-13 from three. Game number two, 12-8-6. I talked to Scott Farrell about this, and you know he's going to kill me if he hears me say this, but I don't think Caitlin Clark's going to score 20 points a game in the WNBA this year. I just don't. I think the curve is too big. I think she's playing with some players that I don't think people that don't know a lot about the WNBA know about. Like when I say the name, you probably know this one. If I say the name Aaliyah Boston, you know, who won a national championship and was such a great scorer, for South Carolina, now playing for the Indiana Fever, you know, you may not have heard of her particularly, but there's other players on this team that you need to be wary of and be aware of and know what they're capable of. You can look at a player like a Kelsey Mitchell. Well, let's see if she will play opening game, but Kelsey Mitchell scored 18 points a game last year. You know, you could look at Nalasia Smith, someone else that could play pretty well, scored 21 points in the last preseason game. They got girls on this team that can score. So here's what I'm going to tell people. When you start looking around for Caitlin Clark, especially if you're looking at props, honestly, folks, I would look at Caitlin Clark's rebounds, her assists, and her three-point field goals. I think that is where Caitlin Clark is going to make her mark in the WNBA to start because of her ability to stretch the floor. And I think that is something that if you look at FanDuel, they've put out a lot of props, right, for Caitlin Clark to lead the Fever in scoring, -380. I don't agree. I think that actually may actually be Aaliyah Boston. To average 22 points a game, I do not agree with that. To make 133s in a season, folks, they play 40 games. That's over three a game. To record three triple-doubles, right there, plus 100. Make 1-3 in every regular season game. That is what I think she will do. That is something that's even money. I think that's the line that you should take for Caitlin Clark. That is kind of a lot of the betting odds you have. Also, for rookie of the year, folks, I'm going to say this right now. I would not put it on Caitlin Clark at minus 700 on FanDuel. I would be looking squarely at Cameron Brink at 9-1. I think this is probably a better play value. Plus, because Onwumike is gone, You know, so she will be a focal point, and then she will be the number one scoring option, and she's great defensively. So Cameron Brink, 9-1 to win Rookie of the Year over Caitlin Clark. I think she will be good, folks. I'm not knocking Caitlin Clark. I'm just saying I don't think she is going to score what people think. Another way to look at Caitlin Clark on FanDuel, minus 700 to win Rookie of the Year, plus 440 for the field. So that's, you know, obviously Cameron Brink. That's Rekia Jackson also going to the Sparks, who could score the ball. That's Aaliyah Edwards going to a place like Minnesota, right? That's Angel Reese, who's going to be playing for a young Chicago Sky team led by Teresa Witherspoon, where they're going to let her get up and down the floor and play big minutes, right? That's Cardozo, who also is going there. So I want people to kind of look at, there is a love for Caitlin Clark, and I think she's going to be fantastic for the league. I just want people to temper their expectations of what they're going to get. Opening game they're playing is going to be that night, Tuesday night, -5.5 versus a really good team in the Connecticut Sun. I think it's one of the best teams in the league. Right now, the props have Caitlin Clark over 20.5 points. Let me tell you something. They're gunning for this kid. Caitlin Clark under 20.5 points would be my play. Caitlin Clark, 3-plus made threes. They have 4-plus made threes at minus 140. I would not touch that. And I would look at Caitlin Clark's assist props. Caitlin Clark to make 6-plus assists, minus 245. To her to get 8-plus assists, plus 150. That pick-and-roll game would be good. If you do like Caitlin Clark to get 8-plus assists, then go look at Aaliyah Boston because she's going to be the beneficiary of the pick-and-roll. That is it for today, for today's podcast. For all things sports gambling, go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be recorded on Thursday. We'll take a look at the beginning of the WNBA. We'll take a look at the NBA draft lottery and look at there. I'll get into my top five teams after the transfer portal madness in the NCAA. So a little bit of a basketball potpourri for my producer, Matty George. Obviously, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. This is Coach Young. Thank you, as usual, for listening. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.